Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in, and a very happy Wednesday to you. Well, you know how I open the show every day with a kind of a thought-provoking question. Well, here's my question for you today. What do you know about the Native American community? Have you given much thought to the Native American community? Do you know if God is moving, how God is moving? Do you know what their struggles are? Well, I'm so honored to have two of my oldest, dearest friends in studio, Dan and Sandy Adler, part of the City Ministries. You've heard them before. They've been on, in fact, on the show with their big, giant band. You should see that. When they come in studio with that big band, we take up two studios. But today, they come in with a dear friend. Her name is Karen Austin. And they're going to give us an inside glimpse of what God is doing among the Native Americans today, how we need to be praying, why it matters, and what really does it require of us, what God is asking of us. We'll get to that conversation in just a moment. Couple quick announcements. You've been hearing about our writers' conference, and I just got to tell you, you know, we're on the countdown now. We're so close. You know, about 5 years ago, we started a writers' contest, and we had such an explosive response. Even back then, we said, what if we did a conference? I mean, we've got so many people turning out for this contest. What if we did a conference? We started to dream. We started to pray. We started to prepare. And I got to tell you, this conference is now, we're going to top out at 700 tickets, which makes it one of the largest conferences in the nation. It hasn't even happened yet. I mean, we're marveling at the turnout. We've assembled an amazing lineup of editors, agents, and experts. Liz Curtis Higgs is our keynote speaker. The tickets are flying, and they're going to be gone. I'm really believing they're going to be gone in about the next week and a half. We've got 39 tickets left. So if you have a desire to be published, I don't want you to waste another moment. Hop on our website. In fact, we designated a website especially for this event, NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com. NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com. It's one day, Saturday, July 15th. We've made it very affordable. Do hope and pray that you'll join us. Also, if you're traveling this season, we want you to take us with you. We've got an amazing free app for your phone, a Faith Radio app. You can live stream shows from anywhere. You can catch podcasts after the fact. You'll check it out in the Apple App Store or on Google Play. Hope you'll do that because we'd love to go with you wherever you're going this season. Let me tell you now about my guests. We'll get them on the show. Dan and Sandy Adler have been married and have been performing together since 1984. They're both graduates of Crown College. They have two children, Danielle and Ben, and they live in the Minneapolis area. Together, they blend their voices and their hearts with their passion for worship and renewal and unity in the body of Christ. Love these two. So honored to have them with us. And I'm going to let them introduce their friend, but glad to have you with us again today.
Thank you, Susie.
Thanks, Susie. Great to be here.
Always love it. So before we meet your dear friend, Karen, and I've met her at different Adler parties on the 4th of July. I can't wait for you to hear her story. We love to start out by talking scripture and just we love the word of God here. And I don't know if you have a life verse or just one you've been pondering these days. You don't even need to know the reference because I'm putting you on the spot.
I got one.
Here. You
I
do?
Got one.
Yep, of course you do,
Dan. Because I knew you were going to jump me with this question.
And Sandy's looking at me with deer in the headlights going, oh, that's
no,
today.
Actually.
I had 9 months to think about it. No, I'm just kidding.
is that
today?
The Bible?
She's ready, though. She's an overachiever.
No, this is one that's been on my heart, and I actually posted it the other day. It's Jeremiah 32:27. It says, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? Hmm. And I think this even applies to our topic today.
Say a word about that.
Well, that's a whole topic, but dealing with Native Americans and the challenges of what's going on, God is the God of all mankind, not any particular ethnicity. And there's some really tough situations in the reservations, but there's nothing too hard for God.
Amen. Love that. Thank you. What about you, Sandal?
Well, the verse that came to my mind, actually, when you said that was, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are new. The old has passed away and the new has come. And the reason I think of that, and I can't wait for her to share her story, this beautiful Native American lady sitting next to us here, because this is just so true of her. And she has probably single-handedly had the greatest influence on our band and our ministry as far as direction, the things that she's opened up into our scope of thinking about the real issues that Native Americans deal with and bringing us up close and personal into the real life story of someone who's walked that path. And then to see what God has brought her out of and how she truly has come to this place of sweetness and innocence and surrender. It really is the new creature picture
wow.
in every way. And it's as she unfolded her story to me over the years, kind of giving me more and more of the story, almost afraid to kind of tell it all at once. the thing that's truly amazing about it is just who she is now and what Christ has done in her life, and this almost childlike, joyful, sweet innocence that he restored her to, just a wonder about, you know, the grace of God and life in general. It's just, it's wonderful, and I can't wait to share that piece of her with people.
So, Sandy, if you would just tell us how you met Karen and then give her kind of a proper introduction, however you want, just introduce her, and then we'll hear from Karen and hear her story.
Oh, absolutely. We began with a different Native American singer who moved out of town, was a recording artist in her own right, and someone recommended Karen to us.
Yeah.
We always have referrals kind of personal from people we trust.
Well, Heart of the City, in case people don't know, Heart of the City Worship Band is a multi-ethnic worship band. So we've got like 11 different ethnicities, and so we intentionally look for diversity in our group. And
that's so awesome.
That's kind of how that came to looking for another Native American singer.
And so someone referred Karen, and Karen at that time wasn't officially a singer per se, but came with this kind of amazing story and had done some worship, and that's kind of where the whole thing began. We had her start with us, and her story just brings the house down. Like, it's a turning point in every event that we have, and has just lent a power to our ministry, to our concerts, to our events that is beautiful.
And provides context.
Very much so. Mm-hmm.
So introduce her to us, if you would.
This is our friend Karen Alice Austin. She is one of our singers with Heart of the City, and she'll say hi.
Hello.
Hey, Karen. She's just blushing here as Sandy's talking about her. I could tell she's not even comfortable with the compliments. But Karen, honor to have you, and I would love for you, just as much as you feel free, just take a deep breath and share your story with us.
Okay. I'm from the Standing Rock Reservation in Fort Yates, North Dakota. And my brand of Indian is Hunk Papa Lakota.
You guys got branded.
Yeah. It's like, wow. They're learning new things.
Band. Yeah, band. I guess that's what I am. I don't know what to do. Okay.
I'm going to throw you off.
Now what do I do?
No.
Keep going. Okay. It's okay.
Okay, no. When I was 3 years old, I was taken off the reservation because I was left out in the cold in the severe, severe blizzard, and I was severely frostbitten on both of my hands, and they were frozen solid, and they were going to amputate them off because they were black by the time they realized that they were frozen. So the SRS took me away from the home and put me in countless foster homes from the age of 3 to 6.
Can I pause here, Karen? Why were you left outside? What was behind that?
One of my relatives, our car had broken down, and she had her two kids in her arms. And on the reservation, the driveways are like a mile long. And so she told me to, I told her my hands were cold. My hands were cold. We were walking in this blizzard, and our car had broken down. And she said, well, put them in your pockets, you know, and so I did. And she had been drinking, and she was drunk, and she had forgotten that I was walking, you know, behind her. And so I had to crawl to the house by myself.
So she'd gone on without you. You're out in the cold while your hands are freezing, and you crawl to the house. Your hands are black from frostbite, so child services took you away, put you in foster care. Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then I went to several foster homes from the age of 3 to 6.
And you lost some fingers, didn't you?
No, they're just deformed.
Okay. Yeah.
They're deformed. They were frozen solid in fist form. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they dissolved them by putting them in ice-cold water with ice. And they just thawed them slowly. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to use them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're in foster care. Take it from there.
And I was there at the age of 6. I got adopted into a white family, and I stayed with them for a few years, and I had a normal life a normal life was having a mom and a dad and a sister, a brother, and cats and dogs, and, you know, a pony, and, you know, just regular stuff that you have as a kid, you know. And so I stayed with them for a few years until I reached the age of 11 or 12. At the age 11 or 12, I became a severe, severe runaway.
Tell the story behind that.
On Sunday night, I told my father that I wished he would die.
because
well, they had
I don't
argument.
Know. We just had an argument.
Yeah.
Okay. And then he died on Monday.
Oh.
So she thought it was her fault.
Hmm.
And so she ran away. Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot for a little girl to deal with. What happened after you ran away?
From the age of 11 to 29.
It's okay.
I experienced being abducted several times. I was raped and I was robbed. I was kidnapped at the age of 15 and beat for months. That was probably my worst time of my life right there.
Mm. So held captive basically
yeah.
by this abductor and beat repeatedly.
Yes. Mm.
How'd you get away?
Well, you know, one day I just looked him in the eye. I had been beat to the pulp. I was bruised from my neck down, from my ears down. I was bruised up. And I looked him in the eye and I said, "You're going to have to kill me because I'm going to walk through that door and I'm leaving." And so he let me walk through the door and followed me for 3 blocks until I went to the arcade. I got to the arcade and there were some friends that I had met there. And I asked him, I said, "Will you please call the police?" And they looked at me in horror because I hadn't ate and I hadn't showered or anything. I had been there for months. And finally the cops got me and they said, "You're safe now. You're safe." And when I heard those words, I was like, wow, I don't have to be beat anymore. You know, and so they got him and they put him in jail for about 6 months.
Hmm.
So, and after that, I went to the detention center and, you know, got back to the Kansas City, Missouri, where I'm from. And so anyway, I kept running and running through the years after that. It was just traumatic. I was very in a lot of trauma thinking.
Of course.
Thinking everybody was going to hurt me.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. We're going to pause here for just a moment, Karen. But sure, you can understand the trauma. And, you know, I often say that enemy sees our potential before we ever do, you know. And he fights dirty. But it is amazing, as Sandy opened up, you know, that somehow, some way, Jesus makes all things new, and you are a walking miracle. Wow. To have my friends Dan and Sandy Adler in studio of Heart of the Cities. They've got their good friend Karen Austin. And today, the subject of our conversation is what's going on in the Native American community, that God is involved in the Native American community. How can we help? How can we pray? More of Karen's story when we return. And that is true. Our God is a lion, the lion and the lamb. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Got my good friends Dan and Sandy Adler of Heart of the City in studio today. We have them in, I would say, a few times a year, probably. Today, we're specifically focusing in on Native Americans, what God is doing, the plight of Native Americans, some of the history that you may not know. They brought in a dear friend, Karen Austin. And before the break, she started to tell the story of when she was on the reservation at 3 years old. Her aunt, if I remember right, was hauling her two little ones into the home. It was a freezing cold day. They were walking kind of a long way, and she was drunk. This aunt was drunk and forgot about Karen at 3 years old, who froze her hands solid out in the winter, which deformed them. And social services took Karen away, put her in a foster system. And then, well, you adopted Karen, or was this a foster family when you were there?
I was adopted at age six.
Six. So you were there for a few years, mm-hmm. and at some point you'd had a conflict with your dad, and mm-hmm. You'd said, "I wish you'd die," which, you know, adolescents and
yep.
teens do such
sure,
things, right?
Sure.
And a couple days later, he did die.
The next day,
oh my goodness. So you're living with this trauma, and you mm-hmm. became a runaway. I mean, imagine all the stuff just fueling you in your heart. And at one point when you were 15, you were abducted and were repeatedly beat for a number of months. Before the break, you got away and you went to an arcade and actually saw some friends and you asked them to call the police. And the police got you and said, you're safe now. Pick up the story, if you would, from there.
After that, I became a severe runaway. I ran all over the United States. At the age of 18, I did ask Jesus into my heart, but I didn't understand it and fell away. I became an alcoholic and a drug addict. I did cocaine for 10 solid years.
Wow.
And I worked in the bars for 10 solid years. Finally, at the age of 29, I cried out to God, or cried out to someone. I didn't know if it was God or anybody, you know. I just knew that somehow I wanted to be healed. And so I was crying and crying. I cried for about 3 or 4 months, just sobbing, knowing that I was dying from drugs and alcohol. So I remember putting this Christian radio station on, and I heard God's voice. I heard God say, "My child, it's time to come back. It's time to come back, my child."
Hmm.
And I'll never, never forget that. I'll never forget God's voice saying that to me. And Jesus instantly set me free from drugs, alcohol, and cigarettes and that whole lifestyle.
Wow.
He instantly gave me a divine healing, and I've been free ever since.
Hallelujah. Wow. And so, Dan, you wrote this song, It's Time to Come Back.
Yeah.
Tell us about the song before we hear it.
Well, we've been hearing this, you know, Karen has shared her story with us so much, and we had some other songs that she'd never recorded anything on our project before on one of our CDs, and I often thought that it'd be cool to have a song that would work with her, and trying to take her story and put it into a song was a challenge, but I like the challenge, and using Native American forms and kind of a rock style with it as well, and I said, all right, Karen, let's give this a shot, so I got in the studio, and I was a drill sergeant with her.
And so you're actually singing on this.
Yes. This is her singing the solo. Yeah, and so Sandy's playing the Native American flute along this, and I wrote this and produced this with, and this is with the Heart of the City Band and behind the whole thing. So we put this whole song together, telling her story, and then it included these Native American elements. So like there's a chant behind part of one of her verses you can hear in there as well. And so
I just have to say, when he first showed it to me, all this time, it's time to come back, my child. I'm picturing this poignant, sweet kind of, you know, song that's tender, and then he comes out with this kind of rockin' song, and I'm like, I just don't know.
Didn't see that coming.
Yeah, and then when we've done it live, it's another one of those, like, showstoppers, and when we've done it on the reservations, it's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
So
wow.
He was really right on it. It was a real anointing.
Well, what it reminds me of is Psalm 18. That's one of my go-to psalms where it talks about, I cried out to the Lord in my distress. You know, I faced a foe that was too strong for me. And then it says, you know, the clouds broke and blast breath came out of his mouth and the bottom of the oceans could be seen. Mm-hmm. And the reason that was so is because he was angry. He was angry for those who are oppressing those he loves so much.
Wait, she reads that exact verse when she does this song.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that reminds me.
Yeah.
So then it shouldn't be a rock song.
Yeah.
Okay, let's listen in.
To go, I felt so dark inside.
We're learning about Native Americans, their plight, God's heart, and when we come back, we'll hear about their history. Don't go away. Make more great conversation up ahead. Really glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. I have my good friends Dan and Sandy Adler in studio. They founded the ministry Heart of the City many, many years ago. In fact, if you want more information on the ministry, get to their website, heartofthecity.org. Prior to the break, though, we heard from their dear friend, Karen Austin, just a Native American, a transformational, miraculous story of what God has done with one life and how she declares now the Lord's faithfulness. And before we hear some of the other songs, in fact, I want to just say we're drawing from Heart of the City album, Healing in You. And we've got a handful of copies. If you would love a copy of this amazing album, email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. If you've got a question for the Adlers or for Karen, you can include that there. Don't forget your mailing address. If you remember your mailing address, your name will automatically go in the drawing, and five of you will get a copy sometime in the next week. But Dan, I would just love for you to just give us a little backstory, because this part of our history tends to be either overlooked, ignored, or maybe people don't even know about it. So yeah. Give us a little history lesson, if you will.
Well, it's complicated because Native American tribes are all different. And so every tribe is considered a nation, like you'll hear the Lakota Nation, you know, or the Crow Nation, the Apache Nation. So they really are not all the same in any way like that. But the truth in our history is that these have been conquered people, you know, which in almost every land has happened. But the big tragedy is that treaties were made in our nation, and over 200 of them have been broken by our nation. Mm-hmm. So every Native American is quite aware of those dynamics, and being on the reservations with broken treaties and land taken away just randomly, like if in the Dakotas, when there was gold found, well, we just took their land away. That was their reservation. You know, they already were put on a reservation. And I mean, literally a treaty, one treaty is that from Minnesota all the way to the west is Indian territory. All of that to begin with. So we are living, and us in Minnesota here are living in Indian territory officially via treaty. So it's the injustices are enormous, and they can't even, I don't even know how to, you know, if they be fixed in so many ways. You know, some of the things that have been tried to do, that has been, you know, there's land and there's some money that goes, but it's painful, and that's an unresolved pain, and that's a real thing. The worst, probably the worst tragedy would have been the Trail of Tears, that we can talk about later, but that whole removing from the whole southwestern United States, and not just the Cherokees that you hear about much, but it was at least five different major tribes all the way from Florida that they removed forcibly, made them walk to Oklahoma, and many of them through horrible winters, and thousands of them died. And that's, you know, the guy in our $5 bill, that's Andrew Jackson, and he was horrible. He's a horrible racist and did horrible things, and that's, you know, it's all there. It's sad.
So when you, with you, just for those of you who don't know Heart of the City, what it's about unity in the body of Christ, racial right. reconciliation, being a voice for the voiceless, and that God is God of all mankind, as you say. No, this is a deep passion. As you started to dig in and listen to stories like Karen's, tell me what impact that had on your heart. But how do you intercede for this nation? I mean, I know there's times for me where I'm on my face. Yeah. Just begging God for mercy and forgiveness because yeah. of what we've exported and what yeah. we've become as a nation. Yeah. We can shake our fists at everybody else out there. We've right. got some ownership here.
Right.
And talk to me about that.
Yeah, I mean, I pray for mercy on us all the time because, you know, a lot of wonderful things have been done in the United States of America. But some really, really terrible things have been done too. And built a lot of our foundational things were really unjust. And I think that like the Daniel prayer where he identifies with the sin of people, I try mm-hmm. to do that all the time and go, we have sinned.
Indeed.
We have sinned and we have turned from your ways and have mercy, not because we are good or deserve it, but please, you know, have mercy on us. And that's, you know, one of the things I do. And I've tried to make a point, excuse me, when I've been in reservation settings too, is to apologize. Mm. Just as simple as a white man and just say, if you've never heard a white man say it, I want to own it. And represent it and say I'm sorry. And did that at the Pine Ridge prison a couple of years ago the first time. And I wasn't really planning on it. I just did it. And I started crying when I did it. I didn't expect to do that either. So I couldn't even finish my sentence. And then all kinds of the women who were in the room of the prison at that time was women started to cry too. And it was really a powerful moment, you know. And it affirmed to me that I didn't do some of these things, but I can take ownership from it. And I've benefited from the results of some of the things that have been done, and I want to take ownership for it as much as I can.
You know, I did an event on a reservation in another state, and they'd were able to have a casino and hotels, and that their tribe had made all kinds of money, and it was like a utopia, but it was had an emptiness about it. So you had these baseball, you know, bleachers and yeah. a new stadium, everything, and then you'd see a truck and it bashed into a tree yeah, behind yeah. it, you know, and the dichotomy of the new and the broken. I asked my host there, who's a Native American, I said, how has all this money impacted you? And she said, oh, more of the same. And I said, well, what do you mean? And she said, there are families that are amazing in tech families who were humble and generous before the money came. Yeah. They're just more humble and more generous. She says, there are broken families who indulge in excess because of the brokenness, and it's just more brokenness. She said, the money hasn't really done anything but just amplify what's already there. She said, we need help on a much deeper level. And right. That's never left me. But Sandy, you speak to that if you would.
You know, when Karen shares her story, and we met another amazing Native American woman whose whole life was on the reservation, and she just talks about when she was a runaway and how when she needed a place to sleep, she would just wander into somebody's trailer and they'd all be drunk and high, you know, partake of the stuff with them, sleep on some bed in the back and leave the next day. No one even noticed, you know. And our first Native American singer, her testimony was so different because her grandparents, her grandfather was a drunk Indian on the verge of suicide. And the grandmother, when he was away, finally, after this little missionary lady's multiple efforts over years, she accidentally kind of got in the house. One of the kids let her in, and the grandma said, she's not allowed in here. She got in and led this grandmother at this low place to Christ, and the whole family accepted Christ. And grandpa comes home, and for some reason, part of his, like, what impacted him, there's curtains on the windows. The house is clean and neat, and there's a joy and a peace in the house that's never, ever, ever been there. And what struck me, putting these stories against each other, because on the reservations, there's so much generational pain that perpetuates itself on and on and on. And so there's this black hole of funding that goes in, but then those things don't change. And what I saw in these two stories was this embodiment of what happens in a little trailer home lit by the love of Christ, the transformative power of Christ, compared to just trying to, you know, get more programs together, affirm, you know, it's like it really does take something supernaturally powerful
Indeed.
To make
yeah.
the kind of changes that need to happen to break those chains once and for all in the strongholds of a family. And I felt like that was so powerfully illustrated in those stories. And I think, like, this next song, We Speak Life, and Dan can tell the specifics behind that song, but that is so much our heart, is to come and not bring Europeanism and not bring Christianity as a form, but as a transformative love power that is understood by the Native American spirit, the Son of God, the sacrifice of Christ, the message of hope and love that is in the gospel, without muddying it up with our own cultural perspective. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Speak to that song, if you would.
Well, the first year we're going to go out to Pine Ridge Reservation, which we're going back out to in a couple of weeks. I hadn't been out there, and I just heard it's a tough place. It's got the second worst poverty in the Western Hemisphere. Pine Ridge is in South Dakota. I think it's the largest reservation in the country. And it's a really Wounded Knee is there. And so you have the kind of history, Bury My Heart in Wounded Knee, that classic book that was written about that. And so, I was just praying about it, and God literally kind of downloaded this song to me. I didn't really even think this way, making declarations like that, but it was just speaking into the darkness of what's there and the hope of what's happening. And it's just so exciting to see some of the things that have been happening, hopeful on that place since then. But this song is just a declaration of God in the midst of injustice, hope and life in the midst of death and pain, and the Lord can do it.
And before we play this, I challenge you to sign up and subscribe to Heart of the City's newsletters, because what I saw pictures after that, your first trip, if you can just picture this broken people, and you can see the brokenness on them, and this, you know, ethnically diverse band with their hands stretched out, and I could see you singing that song, just speaking into the darkness, but making a declaration over these lives. The picture to me was so stunning, because that is exactly what Jesus did.
Yeah.
And again, this song is off of Healing in You, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And let's listen to this song, We Speak Life.
We speak hope unto the man. We speak guidance and direction as you seek him every day. There will be a resurrection as you walk the Jesus way.
Talking about the plight of the Native American, what Jesus has for them, and what our part is for them. Don't go away. More great conversation up ahead. Glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, and I've got my good friends Dan and Sandy Adler in studio. They founded the ministry many years ago titled Heart of the City. In fact, if you want to learn about this amazing ministry, hop on their website, heartofthecity.org. It's really all about unity in the body of Christ, about racial reconciliation. Today, we're focusing specifically on the plight of the Native Americans, of God's heart for the Native Americans, and just some of the overlooked problems and what that means for us as kingdom people. And the title of their album is Healing in You, and they were saying during the break how all-encompassing that title is, because as Sandy, you said before the break, that's really our only hope. Some of these things even that the Native Americans are dealing with go back so far generationally speaking that there is just like a predisposition to brokenness and tragedy and heartbreak and dysfunction unless the Spirit of God moves in. That's their only hope.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they have their friend Karen Austin in, and if you want to hear her story, it's just tragic and amazing the way God has turned things around. But just a quick question before we hear another song off of the album. Karen, I want to know what it's been like for you to have these friends and others come around you, and what it feels like to be known, to be loved. I mean, that you have these two Barbie and Ken white people writing songs that enter into the Native American culture. I mean, they do it so beautifully, but how validating has it been for you?
Oh my goodness. I can't even explain with words. It feels like God has really, when I first went with this ministry, I didn't want to do it. And it took 3 years for me to be talked into it. Hmm. And so, finally, when I did, I said, okay, Lord, I'll do this, you know.
Were you afraid? What were you feeling?
Well, you know, I just didn't feel adequate. Mm. And you know, I was like, why, really? You know, somebody like me to do this, you know, and all that I've been through. And you know, I was dealing with a lot of rejection, you know, because of what I'd been through. You know, I didn't think Christians would accept me because of what I went through. Mm. And so it's helped me a lot to just... Dying to myself in the way I thought about myself.
You have to, don't you, to take hold of everything God has for you?
Right.
And then to find these friendships, and they love you.
Yeah, and it felt like, you know, as I was singing to the Lord, it was like he was unraveling me from a lot of pain, mm-hmm. and a lot of of trauma that I had been through, you know, and that he was unraveling me from that.
Taking off those grave clothes.
You know? Right, mm-hmm. right. And each year it seems like, you know, I was like, okay, I'm getting better in life, in the natural things of life.
Yeah.
You know, like just the simple things of working, you know, being a mother, you know, just cleaning and, you know, just simple things. I had to really learn how to do that by myself.
Yeah.
Because I didn't really I wasn't raised that way, you know, to live, how to explain it, you know.
That makes sense.
Responsibly.
Yeah.
To engage with life. And
yeah. And so the drugs and alcohol took that away from me.
Right.
Mm. You know, and I mean, I was literally almost like a...
Catatonic.
Yeah. I couldn't really function at the last of that lifestyle.
Yeah.
I was dead.
I would imagine for Native Americans as well as African Americans and other groups who've been walked all over at times, forgiveness for them would have to be a huge thing. You know, talked about the inadequacy you had to get over to be used by God. And Dan, I'm sure you guys have really had to build bridges over the years to earn trust because, you know, they friends didn't want you to be the token white people reaching out until they realized you're really in this, you know.
And we continue to have to, you
exactly.
know, it's, and understandably so.
Yeah,
it's like,
absolutely.
You know, so it's, you know, it's being a Christian is a call to being a servant, and it doesn't mean people are going to pat you on the back and think you're great. They might completely misunderstand you, and you have to learn, and sometimes you don't do it right, and you want to learn, and you try to do it better, and you just do your best, you know, and try to build bridges every way you know how.
It's an amazing thing, really amazing thing.
And we always did feel like it was, to some extent, a ministry of going and getting the rocks out of the field before anything could even be plowed. Like, we could see ourselves to the end of our lives, people looking back and going, I guess they did stick with that. You know, I guess it wasn't just another trendy thing. I guess they stuck with that.
Yeah.
Really, that's sometimes you feel like that's all we have to say on our behalf.
Yeah. In,
you know,
tenacity.
I guess they were serious about that.
Yeah.
You know,
But you go to a party at the Adler House, you see the fruit of your labor. You really do.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
in the friends that you have and the people you've surrounded yourself with, this goes down into your DNA. And I love that.
The best part of
it. It is true.
It is.
So talk to us about, time's going so fast. Yeah. He rides the clouds. Talk about that
song. This song is actually not on this project. It was a project before this called Listen to the Sound. And I think one of the things I want to make sure we talk about here is some of the beauty of Native American culture. You know, we have these pains and these tragedies, but one of the things that's kind of, I think, unique is that there's a across the board acknowledgement of a creator. And what's ironic is European culture, the more educated you become, is the lack of knowledge of a creator. So if you're going to be really smart in, you know, quote unquote white culture, you're going to say there is no God and we're here by random chance. All Native cultures say there is a great creator. And I think that's profound.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's such a close step to the acknowledgement of Jesus as being that creator. And that's the tragedy of Europeanism being brought instead of Christianity and going, you know, well, if you can become a Christian, you got to cut your hair and quit doing your dance and don't play the flute and don't play the drum and, you know, and become white. So it becomes white man's religion. But there's this beautiful thing there, but it isn't the gospel, and the gospel needs to come, but it's not a far step. And in writing this song and reading the scriptures, there's about five different passages in the Old Testament that talk about God riding the clouds. And I just think that's weird. You know, I mean, like for me as a white guy, that's weird. God rides the clouds across the sky. You know, my scientific view, that's kind of doesn't fit, but it's in the scriptures. And I thought, well, Native American, that wouldn't be a reach to say that God rides the clouds across the sky, you know? And so I decided to blend that idea together in that. And that, actually, this was, again, an alluring to Karen's story before I wrote a song for her to sing. I sang the lead on this one, but this is a bit of her story in this song as well. But it's talking about God coming as that powerful one, you know, and that creator and riding the clouds across the sky.
Did you want to say another word, Sand? Okay, no, let's listen in. Thank you.
clouds across the sky. He names each star he plays so high. He spoke a word and called the sea. And yet he stooped to rescue me. Holds all power in his hand. He formed the sea and formed the land. He made the earth his work of art. And yet he healed my broken heart. My maker formed
absolutely amazing. Where's the time gone? Well, Dan, if we could pray, would you pray for the Native American people and pray for God's people that we could have a heart that he does?
Yes, Lord. Lord, I thank you so much for the Native American people and the heart that you've put in them for a creator, an acknowledgement of you. And we pray, Lord, that the injustices that have been done in the past would be healed and that there would be an opening to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to thank you for what is happening, for some of the new things that are breaking through, even on the Pine Ridge Reservation and some of the other reservations, friends who are doing the Alpha program in Native American form and all the things that are happening. We thank you, Lord, for people like Karen and Teresa who are coming to Christ, and we bless them. We pray, raise up more and more warriors for Jesus Christ on these reservations, and bless these people with your presence and your healing, and help us to all know our part and how we can be healers and reconcilers in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Amen. And if you want to be on Heart of the City's newsletter, sign up on their website at heartofthecity.org. Wow, wow. I feel like we just scratched the surface. We may have to pick up this conversation another day. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. So maybe you're in a not yet season. I'd say every one of us in some degree is in a not yet. We're waiting for that breakthrough. Hour two, we're going to talk about what to do, how to wait in a way that's healthy, full of faith, and not destructive to our health. So don't go away. Another great hour is up ahead next.